Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Kilowatt, a podcast about electric vehicles, renewable energy, autonomous driving, and much, much more. My name is Bodie, and I am your host. And on today's episode, I got a chance to sit down with Gene Rubin, who is a Cybertruck Foundation owner. Gene walked us through the truck. He gave us the good, the bad, and the ugly about the truck. And honestly, you're going to be surprised because most of it's good, and I think you're going to enjoy it. Now, before we started the official interview, I did ask Gene, what was the catalyst to switching over to electric vehicles? And Gene's answer was a very touching one. So I'm going to play that for you now before we get to the interview.
So I live here in Ventura, California, which is near Santa Barbara. And going all the way back to very early 2013, I'd been driving back and forth to UCLA Medical Center daily because I had a girlfriend in the hospital there with AML leukemia. And she was there because she grew up next to an oil refinery, and a lot of the other kids her age that grew up there and now as adults were all dying of the same AML leukemia. I'm sitting at the gas station, putting gas in my Honda Civic, and I just decided, you know what? I can't kill anybody else's children. I can't, you know, do this to anyone else. So I decided I had to go electric, and I bought a Model S. That's like three times the price of any car I ever bought before, but it was important to me. And that started me on the road. I just down into EVs. I realized how just absolutely amazing they were, not just for health reasons and climate reasons. They were just absolutely amazing. I picked up a Nissan Leaf just to loan out to friends. I just wanted the world to know about it. I loaned it to friends and other people so they could see what driving EV was all about. And many of them converted. This is back in 2013. And then I became involved in various political groups, both for EVs, for electrification of homes, for basically fighting our utilities in California, which have been trying to kill solar in California, and they've been doing, we're kind of losing, but we're trying to claw that back to get back to net metering and whatnot. So I've been in that world, and it ended up being my whole social life and everything. And even my stepdaughter in the seventh grade, she really took this on, and she was fed up with cars at picking up kids sitting there idling. And she was able to get passed at her school an idling ban for the parents sitting there waiting for their kids. You know, they got put up signs, the whole bit in the parking lot. I was very proud of her that she pulled that off. And so I was really concerned about climate for my kids and the world. And I learned that the best way when you're concerned about something to not just get yourself depressed about it was to like do something about it and just start working on it. You know, take that on as a project that you're going to change it. So that's where I'm at with EVs. I'm a big proponent. I go to all the shows, show my stuff, help people discover how great they are.
I am sad to report that Gene's girlfriend sadly passed away. According to the University College London, an estimated 1 in 5 deaths every year can be attributed to fossil fuel pollution, which is not something we hear about all that often. And I want to thank Gene for sharing such a personal story with us. I will say the rest of the interview is not a sad one. It's a happy one. It's a lot of fun. I've been interacting with Gene online for some time now, so it was really nice to sit down with him and actually have a conversation. And I really enjoyed the conversation, and I think you're going to enjoy it as well. So let's go ahead and welcome Gene to the show. Gene, you are one of, I don't know, at this point, it may still be less than 1,000 people who own a Cybertruck. And you've agreed to come on and chat with us about your experience buying and also, you know, owning a Cybertruck at this point. Can you talk a little bit about what made you decide to purchase a Cybertruck?
Absolutely. My favorite hobby in life is actually camping in the wilderness. I've traveled all across the Sahara, the Arctic regions, all over Mexico, parts of Central America, the American Southwest. And I had a Dodge. And when I got rid of all my fossil vehicles, I sold this old Dodge four-wheel drive truck off. And I was really jonesing to get out there camping down the dirt roads, you know, out in the wilderness and stuff that you just can't get to in a regular car. So I was hell-bent on getting myself an EV pickup truck. I had a reservation on a Rivian, and I had a reservation on the Cybertruck. I was close to grabbing a Rivian, but I didn't feel good about the efficiency on it. I'm also sort of a miser when it comes to electricity. I produce all my own. And so I kept hanging on to see how the Cybertruck was going to work out for efficiency. And I'm very pleased it's much more efficient. We can talk about that later than my friends who have Rivians. And I'm just mentioning Rivian because it's the only other truck that would go to the kind of places I like to go to. But also, I once had a pickup truck with a 4.5-foot bed on it, and I owned it for literally 1 year and hated it the whole time because I just couldn't carry anything in it, not the stuff I need. So when the Cybertruck had the very first reveal, I was like, oh my God, that is ugly, but what the hell? I'll put a $100 deposit on it anyway and see what happens. As time goes by, I started to get used to the looks, and I felt better about it.
Yeah, I also, right over here, actually, I'll just pull it off the wall here. I have my Cybertruck reservation right here.
Yes.
There we go.
Nice.
Unfortunately, I ran out of patience and did not think it was going to come out this year. Also, at the current price, it's a little outside of my price range.
But I understand.
It's still there. If it ever comes down in price, I still have this reservation for my dual motor.
Okay.
So when you looked at purchasing the Cybertruck, when, you know, converting a reservation to a purchase,
yes,
you had the opportunity to be first. Do you want to talk, or one of the first folks, do you want to talk Correct. About what that, it's not the beast mode. What did they call it?
Well, they call it the foundation.
Foundation.
That's foundation. Right.
And there's a lot that comes with the foundation. It's actually, if you put all that stuff together, everything that comes with it is quite a good deal. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, I will. Everything that it comes with, which was pretty much most of the things I was never going to buy. But, but you know, I'm 68 years old and I want to get back out there. And I didn't want to take a chance at waiting. I'd been waiting so long to get back into the wilds. And I didn't want to be waiting even one more year. I had the money in my pocket. I could do it. So I rationalized, well, wasn't going to buy that full self-driving. A lot of things on there I wasn't going to buy. But I rationalized, well, I don't mind getting it. Yeah, what the hell? I'll pay the extra $20,000. And I'm really happy that I did. So that didn't bother me. And I don't know how long people will wait who didn't take the foundation. I don't know if it would be another year or 2 years. I just decided I wasn't going to take that chance on it. So I went for it. I have had full self-driving on my Model Y, and I really like that a lot, but I just didn't feel like I would have needed it for a truck, for instance. I have power walls on the house, so I don't really need the vehicle to home, but okay, it comes for free, so I guess I have even more battery power now. And that requires a bit of hardware, which I haven't received yet, but Tesla is on it. They've already, you know, checked out my property and my system I have and all that to be sure everything's compatible. And they told me that it is and that somebody would contact me, you know, pretty soon about getting all that hardware installed to be able to do that.
Yeah. And Tesla is, it's not that they're just giving you the hardware. They're giving you a credit of, I think it's $11,000. Not just you, everybody, right? It's about $11,000.
No, actually the people who buy the Cyber Beast, okay, my car is the all-wheel drive, which is $99,000, my truck. Then the Cyber Beast Foundation is $120,000. Those guys get $4,000 credit for the labor of installing the hardware because they're going to use a third-party electrician, okay? I have to pay that out of my own pocket, but I did not want a Cyber Beast. There's reasons why, as an old-school off-roader, I'd much rather have dual motors with just old-fashioned locking differentials, front and rear and stuff. That's what my trucks have always had, and I'd rather have that. Cyber Beast has three motors, and so its traction control works very differently. So I still stuck with the all-wheel drive version, which I think is all they're shipping right now. I don't think any Cyber Beasts have shipped out. I think that's a few months later. But anyway, so in my case, I get to pay the labor for the installation, which I don't think will be too bad because it's just changing my gateway from a gateway 1 to a gateway 3. All the wiring's there, everything there. It's just going to be like take one box out, put the other box in, and that's about all there is to do.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Okay. So you ordered, you emailed me in December and said, I'm going to order one of these. And then in February, or was it early January, you took delivery?
It was January 29th. Yeah, January 29th.
Okay. And then how was that process? Like, I would imagine it's like going into the Apple store for regular folks and buying an Apple Vision Pro. Like, everybody's like, ooh, let's look at it. What was that like for you?
Well, I think I go ahead. They sent me an email sometime in actually December, and they said, do you want this foundation? And I thought about it for about 5 minutes, and I said, okay. And then I heard back from them in about a week before, about January 22nd or something like that. And they said, hey, your truck is going to be ready for you in a week. Actually, they said it'll be ready for you this Friday. Can you come get it? And I didn't have a ride to Marina Del Rey from where I am until Monday. So it sat there for 3 days until I got there. It was actually really great. In Marina Del Rey is a very large a delivery center that Tesla has just for delivering cars. Like when there's a big wave of something, when there was a wave of Model 3s first coming out, they ask people to go there instead of bringing the vehicles to their local service place. And that's about an hour for me to get down there. I needed a friend to take me out there and drop it off. And you know, it was great. When I was there, they said, we have 10 of them here. These are the first 10 in Los Angeles County that we're going to be delivering. And I was like the first guy to show up. And so they have a waiting room. I wait there and they say, don't look behind the curtain. Don't look behind the curtain. I go, okay, I'll wait. And they said, okay, you can open the curtain. And I opened the curtain and there was probably about 20 employees working there. It's a pretty big facility. And they had my truck doing its light show that it'll do. All Teslas will do. And they had a fog machine. So it looked all foggy and everything. And they were just all there clapping and applauding. And you know, I actually teared up. I mean, I'm known to tearing up really easily, but it was actually very touching. Not so much my truck. I wasn't even looking at it. I was looking at the people who were clapping and smiling at me, thinking they just, you know, the people that work at Tesla, they tend to be young and they tend to be actually generally enjoying what they're doing. And I found them to be warm people. And so here I had 20 of these people. I've been with Tesla for 12 years now, their products. So it felt great. I felt kind of special when they did that. And my friend kept tapping me on the shoulder. He goes, hey, look at your truck. Look at your truck. Cause I was too busy looking at them, you know, which was the other direction. And so there it was.
Yeah. I will say that any interaction I've had face to face with a Tesla employee and even people on the phone, but it's really the face to face.
Yes.
They really try and go above and beyond to help you. I've not ever had a situation where, when I was buying the car or when I had a little bit of service done here and there, I've not really had a situation where somebody was dismissive or, I mean, not even a little abrasive. Everybody wants to help you, which is a good feeling when you spend that much money on a vehicle. Those folks, they're vested, they have a vested interest in helping you out.
Absolutely. Yeah. Sometimes online, I'll see somebody complaining about service and I kind of just shrug my shoulders because I've had nothing but really, really great great service. And just like you said, the people are always very helpful. I think total miles on Teslas, because I've been driving them a long time and I have to drive a lot, I must have 300,000 miles or so, you know, wow, on them. And my very first Model S had a very few, some issues a little bit. They always took care of it. But the vehicles I've owned since then have been great, stellar. I mean, I've needed almost nothing ever.
That's awesome. So now you pick it up. You're finally in your truck. I'm sure they gave you a walk around so that you kind of knew what you were looking at.
Yes, they did. They asked me if I needed an in-depth explanation of everything. And I said, not really in-depth, you know, just a couple little things that are different maybe on this from the Model Y that they pointed out. Not really a lot, because I'd been already studying all the videos out there. And again, I've been driving Teslas for so long, pretty much almost every way this truck works, as far as the UI and stuff, it's different than your Model Y and my Model Y, but it's very close. So it's very intuitive. Yeah, I didn't need much instruction at all.
Excellent. Now we come to driving it. You're in an area. There are some spots in that area. My wife and I love going to Santa Barbara, so I'm quite familiar with that general area of the world. But there are definitely some spots where a truck would have no problems, but there are also definitely some spots where a truck of that size would be tricky. How did you find the size of the vehicle and the handling in the area that you live?
Okay. Well, first off, I think I should mention that people keep thinking this is a really large vehicle. If you see it parked next to an F-150 or a Ram 1500, something like that, my truck was a Ram 2500. Those vehicles are bigger than the Cybertruck. It is more compact. Probably just by a few inches in every direction, but as you know, a few inches this way or that way makes a big difference. So as far as driving and traffic and all of that, staying in the lane or anything, it's a piece of cake driving. It's really a pleasure. I've owned many trucks, and they take a lot of work to keep going. And if you're on the highway just trying to stay in your lane, you're kind of correcting all the time. You get sore shoulders at the end of a long trip. This is just like driving a big Tesla, a bigger Tesla, not a huge one, or like driving a car. It just stays right in the lanes, handles more like a car. So it's really easy to drive. I want to mention that steer by wire is fabulous. You know, it's variable and they've got that figured out beautifully. Basically took me about 300 feet out of the parking lot from Tesla to have that, to be used to it already. That was really, really simple. So where I live up in Ventura, Santa Barbara area, of course, is much less dense than say LA. Parking in a parking lot, you're not going to pull in a normal car space. You're going to park just a little bit farther away from Trader Joe's, just a little bit farther out, just because it's so much easier to pull in, so much easier to get out. You could do it, but it's just easier. But that's what I do with my Model Y anyway, because I don't want the door dings. Now I don't have to worry about door dings, but it's too much hassle to park between cars. Yeah.
Have you had anybody hit the doors with a hammer or anything? Have you tried any sort of test of strength?
You know, just last night I was somewhere in public and a guy came up and he goes, "Oh, I heard you can't hurt this thing." And he actually kicked my truck without asking. That was actually annoying. Just the fact that he didn't ask, he didn't do any damage, but it seemed kind of out of place.
I had a Saturn and, you know, those doors were made of like a composite plastic.
Right. I remember.
And, people used to do that all the time. And I could barely afford the car. And every single time somebody did it, I was like, dude, I work at Pizza Hut. Do you have any idea how hard it would be for me to fix this if you broke it?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a weird thing that people have. Yeah. It's like touching a baby that's not yours.
Right.
Okay. So we talked a little bit about size, handling. What did you think of the build quality?
You know, I'm pretty amazed. Since I've owned several Teslas over the years, they've gotten better and better as far as when you receive it and, you know, whether the vehicle is perfect or not. My Model Y actually was perfect. I couldn't find anything wrong with it. This truck, especially for being a new product, it's flawless. I mean, even on that Y I just told you was perfect. Okay. So maybe if you're going to become one of those pound gap worry people, which I'm not. If I go over it, I can find some things that aren't exactly consistent. But this truck, everything is consistent on it. Everything works. It's just flawless is the only word to use for it. It's absolute perfection. And maybe that's because it's on an early run and maybe they just want to be sure these things are just perfect, perfect, perfect. Or maybe they've got it down. Once they start producing them faster, maybe they won't all come out like that. But in my case, I could not be happier with that.
I just imagine that Elon is blessing each one as it goes off the line. It's just, you know,
maybe something's going on right there. Yeah.
So, I when you agreed to come on, I reached out to Steve and Allison Sheridan and I said, "Hey, do you have any questions for Gene?" And one of the questions was, the edges formed on the Cybertruck's flat panels might be sharp and potentially sharp enough to cut someone. Is that true? Has that been your experience?
I wouldn't say that. They're, in other words, if you run your finger over them, they're nice and smooth. They've been well sanded and stuff. They are, of course, an edge as opposed to something which is rolled over. So, at the top of the bed and the rear of the tailgate, you know, it all comes to a point. I suppose if you fell off a ladder and hit your head on it, that would hurt for sure, you know, but you're not going to hit it with your hand or your arm or go by it and be scraped. No, that won't happen. And actually, the one thing that, maybe could have been a possibility is that on the frunk up front, the left and right lowest corner of that, when that frunk is open, maybe you could bump your head on that if you were tall enough on that little corner there. And it's not sharp. It's a little bit rounded. But since the very, well, mine is one of the very first Cybertrucks, but they have a little plastic bumper on there now. So you're not going to make contact with the metal edge. So at least Tesla's paid some attention to that.
We talked about a little bit about, and I don't know if this is totally appropriate for this particular topic, but we talked a little bit about the aero wheels or the wheels that came with the Cybertruck. Yours did not come with that plastic cover because it was damaging tires.
Correct. Yeah, they call that, they always call that on all the Teslas. They're called aero caps. They're basically hubcaps. So it did not come with them. They told me I will have those in March. And, you know, normally, like on my Model 3, I would keep the aero caps on just because they did seem to help a little bit with range. But my efficiency and range numbers are doing so well. And I think the truck looks so great without those caps. I got the little, some little plastic caps that go over the lug nut so those don't show up. And then the middle of the wheel, you know, has the open space where you can see the, that nut in there that holds the hub to the axle. So I was able to get a little cap that covers that. So they have a real nice finished look. And I don't think I'll ever put those aero caps on because it looks really great, the way it is. But anyway, yes, I saw that those caps were rubbing on the tires a little bit. So they're going to redesign it slightly.
So let's move on a little bit to the rigidity and strength. Like, you haven't had an opportunity to take this off road yet, but this truck has, feels like it's not, now that we know about the crash tests and things like that and how it absorbs energy, but it feels or seems like it should be like just very rigid. But then you also, you know, have that adaptive suspension on there. How does that compare? What are your experiences with that?
Well, I've never before owned a vehicle from anybody where when you go sort of in and out a steep driveway at an angle and you're sort of putting that torsional twist on the chassis, you're always going to get a little creak or at least feel flex in the chassis on anything I've ever owned. This, there's no noise, there's no creak. It's like nothing moves within the chassis at all. You can tell. So it feels really great. It feels really solid. Yet the suspension travels the changes in the land under you. It does a really great job, never lifts up a wheel or anything. It's got good travel. I give it like A+ rating on that. So, you know, nice. Like going over through dips, speed bumps, in and out of angular driveways, things like that. It just always feels solid, always feels under control. And it's always silent, be it the chassis or the suspension. There's just no noise, click, vibration, anything.
That's great. And I should mention that you've agreed to come back on and because you're going to go on a long road trip and it's going to be like 75 miles down a dirt road. You just need to, you know, to get your spare tire in. So we'll talk about this a little bit more at a different time if people are curious because they want to do off-roading. But for right now, you know, it's pretty much just been city streets.
Yes, that's correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Have you tried, I know this is a stupid question. Have you tried driving it through the water? Have you taken it out on the lake for a spin?
Well, I had been driving it through all the torrential rains that we've been having here, and there's been plenty of flooded streets, but I don't think I've ever gone anything more than through about maybe 1 foot of water, which I probably could have done in the Model Y as well.
All right. I just had to get that out there. I did see that somebody recently took their Cybertruck out, and it was right before you came on, actually. I was just about ready to read the story. So we'll see how that goes for him long term.
Yeah,
it definitely is not covered under your warranty, even though Elon says you can do it.
He had water coming over the front hood on that thing. Yeah. I saw some pictures of it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was deep. Yeah.
Jeez. I just encourage people not to do that. That would be my recommendation as a professional. Let's see here. We talked a little bit about this in terms of the size and the handling, but what's the practicality for daily use? Like, are you finding it that it's able to do all of the things that you're doing with your Model Y without much exception?
Yeah, I actually have a feeling about that. I have a use case for trucks. You know, no matter how beautifully it drives, which it does, handles beautifully, the steering is incredible, all that stuff. It is bigger. You know, it's a little harder to get around. You just don't zip in and out of places and stuff. So when I hop back in my Y, which is really what I'll use for almost all my on-street driving, I'll use the truck for truck things and for camping down, you know, dirt roads where I need the four-wheel drive and all that stuff. I would say as a use case, if you have a use case for a truck, anybody would just, this has just got to be one of the nicest trucks you could ever have. And it's easy to drive around town. All of that stuff is easy. But if you really only have a use case for a nice car and you just want to buy the Cybertruck because you think it looks cool or something like that, I think that novelty would wear off and you'd be happier. And I think the Y is like just a perfect vehicle. And I've driven a lot of stuff and it's a great vehicle. So I'm glad I can have both of them. I feel a little guilty using up all that battery, but you know, but companies are making batteries faster these days. I'm lucky that I can afford it for the moment.
Yeah. I think I'm a big proponent of drive what works for you and mostly drive what you enjoy. Cause these are besides a house, these are the most expensive things you're going to purchase in your life. So you might as well enjoy it, especially, you know, if you're financing it, you might as well enjoy it while you're financing it. I think that's good. I think that's good advice. In terms of the interior, let's talk about, we have seating for six. Is that the case still, or is it five?
Five.
Yeah.
Five.
Okay. I thought that they had turned that middle seat for the Cybertruck that was supposed to be six in the front to a two-seater instead of that bench seat.
Correct.
So seating for five. Mm-hmm. There's tons of storage. What are your thoughts on the interior of this car?
The interior is really gorgeous. I mean, just visually to look at it. I went to an EV car club meet last night, and I brought it, and it was at nighttime, you know, and so I had in a parking lot when you open the doors and with that little, I thought that was kind of hokey before I owned it, but that little strip of lighting that goes around, I have mine set for a blue sort of purpley color. It looks really great. Visually, it's super inviting. The fit and finish on the interior is really nice, and it's definitely more premium than, it's more premium than a Model Y for sure, and my Model S, but that was an early Model S. I don't know how it is versus a Model X, but you know, the materials they use, the fit and finish, the visual design of it all, is definitely more premium than anything I've owned before. I think they have everything laid out really beautiful. My only issue is I have this little dog that likes to put its paws up on the armrest, and the window opener is right under her foot. So If she's on the back door, I can turn off the windows, you know, the child lock. But on the front door, she gets that thing open. And so I've had to basically put a piece of masking tape over it for right now until I find something better so that she doesn't open the window constantly. So those are not placed as well as they were on the Model Y. The window openers are back a little bit. You have to bring your arm back a little bit more than you would on a Y. It's not where your hands would just naturally fall. That's like the one thing I would do differently if I was designing it.
And what about the seats? Like, how comfortable are the seats?
The seats are super comfortable. They're more comfortable than what I already considered to be very comfortable, the Model Y seats. They are a little bit more support. They're a little less, I guess you'd call it plush. You know, you don't sink into them as much. They're more supportive, but that works well with me because I always like chairs that are supportive, not the kind of thing that I'm sinking down into. So I would say they're great. And the back seats are definitely the best back seats I've ever sat in on anything. This truck is smaller, say, than the Dodge or F-150 that I used to have, Dodge 2500. It's a smaller vehicle on the outside, yet the bed is still that full 6 feet, and you have the frunk, and the interior is much larger than the Ford or the Dodge crew cab area. I guess because you don't have the big engine up front. You know, you have all this extra space that Tesla can play with. It's really cavernous, the interior. It's extraordinary. You could have people sitting in the back of that thing that are like 6'6", and their knees would still not get close to the seat in front of them. It is just huge.
Yeah. The Out of Spec Studio folks, they had somebody that was upper 6 foot, 6'5", 6'6", 6'7", get in the back of it. And he did not look cramped at all.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that is an amazing feat for somebody of that height. Because I work with a lot of guys that are way over 6 feet tall. And everything for them is a challenge in terms of comfort.
Yeah. This would be a very comfortable vehicle for basically five really tall people.
That's good. I would not let either of these guys sit in the front seat, so I would be okay with them being in the back.
Okay.
Just FYI. All right. These next questions came from Allison Sheridan. So one screen or two I guess there's two because there's one in the back, but is there a instrument panel and an infotainment screen, or is it just the infotainment screen?
It's just the infotainment screen, just like it is on a Model Y. It is bigger. It's bigger than what's in the Model X. I don't know what it is exactly in inches, but it's considerably larger.
I thought it was 17, because I think the Model Y is 15. The Model 3 is a little bit smaller. Mm-hmm. I think it's 17.
Probably about 2 inches larger, yes. Mm-hmm. But it makes everything bigger. You know, it makes the buttons, everything that you have to push or do, a lot larger. So it's easier.
That is nice. At 50, I'm starting to lose my eyesight.
You're lucky I'm 68.
when they made, with that update, the new update, where they made the little side lights, like the dummy lights, bigger.
Yes.
I was like, why isn't this something I could just change just in general? Mm-hmm. Becoming my father in terms of complaining about little things, but. Yeah, so that's good. How about the screen on the back? Because there is a screen for the folks in the back. They can watch movies, they can play games. How's that look?
Well, it looks really nice, but I've never even used it yet.
Okay.
So, you know, and I haven't had anybody. Well, yes, actually, my son was sitting in the back with his girlfriend, and I think they were just using it for, you know, to adjust the same way that you can adjust the flow of air up front, where, you know, you can drag around the whatever you call it for the HVAC, you can do that in the back. And I know they were doing that to get the air conditioning on themselves. I personally haven't used it. It's pretty. It looks nice. And it's not very bright, which is nice. Even at night, it doesn't, there's no like ambient light coming off of it that I ever notice unless I was in the back. Yeah.
And how does the infotainment system compare to, let's say, the Model Y or the Model 3? Because mm-hmm. It does look very different on the Cybertruck. Now, that just might be what people are showing off.
I'm actually in the high-end audio business, and I'm a violinist, mandolin player, so I do really pay attention to music systems. And there's been rave reviews about this, and I think it might please some people, and I think it's really good. But I think the Model Y is better, actually. I prefer the sound system in the Model Y. This one's kind of bass heavy, and that gets in the way of the best part of the music, which is usually in the mid-range, you know, and you can adjust it and stuff. But yeah, I just the Model Y overall has a better sound, and something I would love for everyone to be aware of. So I'm going to say this right here and get it out there. On every Tesla, you have one of the settings on the audio system is immersive sound, they call it. And this is the same thing that they'd have on the little portable radios and cassette decks and everything from way back when, where you could flip a switch and it makes the sound much larger, like it's coming out of the box. It makes you feel like you're in a large concert hall or something. But it actually screws up the timing of the music. And the whole thing about music is to tap your foot along and hum along with it. And everybody can try this, but put some music on that you like. And if you switch between immersive sound and turning that completely off, you'll find that the music actually flows better. It becomes more musical as opposed to just being, some sort of special effect. And I think people really need to check that out because it affects your music enjoyment. Absolutely. So I suggest to people that you turn off the immersive sound. It makes it seem like the sound is sort of smaller, but the music has much better rhythm and pace to it.
Oh, that's good advice. Because I think I have it on, and I think I turned it on. Well, maybe it came on. I think I left it on because we were watching movies in the car right around the same time I was playing with it before I had charging installed in my house.
Yeah.
So I think it was just me and the kids in the car.
Bodhi, try it out both ways. There's a guy in Ventura where I live who's an engineer for Tesla, and he's their audio engineer that does their infotainment stuff. And I ran into him and I go, "Hey, dude, I got to show you something." And I demonstrated it to him and he says, "Oh my God, you're right." And I go, "Yeah, you should just get rid of that immersive sound thing." Of course, they didn't, but it was kind of fun to run into that guy and show him what I was talking about.
That is really important. I think, like, I am not a sound nerd, and as I get older, my hearing is becoming a little bit tin-eared, but I do appreciate when I can actually hear like the actual instruments. I'm gonna change it. I'll let you know.
Yeah, yeah. So try it out. You know, everybody should try that out. Now, just to sum this up really quickly, it affects the timing. When you turn off the immersive sound off, you have better timing between all the people playing the instruments. They sound like they're in time with each other. And if you want to go to extremes, the difference between music and just noise is timing. Okay. When you have a bunch of noises and things happening and the timing is good, then that's music. That's musical. You can tap your foot along with it. When the timing goes bad enough, it becomes random noise. Okay.
Okay. I don't even know if I'm going to air this part. I'm going to tell you, no. Well, I am going to air this part, but I'm going to tell you a story that my son told me this weekend because he wants to quit jazz band. And I'm okay if he quits, right? He plays piano in jazz band. And he told me the exact same thing that you, he goes, the timing is all off and it's just noise. And I was like, dude, you are 11. These kids don't know how to play any of these instruments. And he's like, "Dad, I cannot handle it. I want to quit because it's just noise and nobody's in time."
Yeah. Well, you need to leave that in the podcast because that's the big difference. It's all about timing. You can play any notes you want. You know, I play all over for audiences. You can play any note you want and you can hit all the wrong notes. But as long as your timing is good, they're still happy. It's still music.
That's funny. All right. That's a side jag. Everybody turn off the immersive sound in your Teslas. And let's move on to autonomous features, which this one will be fast. What do you got with your hardware for brand new Tesla?
Right. So for right now, I mean, full self-driving comes with the truck. But for the moment, all I have is the adaptive cruise control. And that's it. Everything else is going to come. I was a little concerned that might take a long time, and it still might take a while, but there has already been one pretty substantial software download to give back certain features and stuff that we didn't have yet. So it's not like Tesla isn't working on it. So I'm looking forward to that. I can live without the full self-driving, but I love the automatic lane changes, and I love just keeping myself centered in the lane and stuff like that. So right now I got to steer it myself, which, you know, when you were in high school, you just couldn't wait to drive, period. Now I'm so used to on the Model Y, the car steering itself on the highways and stuff, that to have to steer it myself just seems like a lot of work.
Agreed. Every time I go to work, I only have autopilot, but every time I go to work and I'm on the freeway, that's probably the only time I'm on the freeway.
Yeah.
Is I will put autopilot on, and it's good enough to get me 90%. There are some spots that it wants to merge me into a concrete barrier, but I know where those spots are. and we avoid those, or I get in a different lane if I can.
Yeah. But, and that's, yeah, that stuff gets better. It's amazing. You'll see the longer you own your vehicle. I know you've had it for maybe about a year or something like that.
Close, like 3 months from a year. So we're
3 months from a year, but yeah, things just, they just get better. The car learns, you know, and you'll notice that someday you'll go by that spot and you go, oh, it's not doing that anymore.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah. I look forward to that day.
I don't know if you know this or your listeners know this, but you can push the voice control button and you can say bug alert. And you speak into bug alert and you try and explain what happens and where. And a real human being is going to listen to that at one point.
Yes. I don't know how many people, I think Allison Sheridan's mentioned this, but she does those bug reports all the time. So that is definitely a good tip for sure. Oh, let's talk about the mono wiper. You mentioned that you're going to be in the rain or you have been driving in the rain. How's that big giant samurai sword of a wiper working out?
Yeah, it works really well. I mean, it does its thing. It's just radial. In other words, it doesn't change, but it doesn't become horizontal or anything like that. I just mentioned that I had some questions last night. Some guys were asking me if it was like double jointed or something like that. No, it's not. It's just this one big arm that goes back and forth. It reaches all the way to the right side of the windshield. And so, if you're sitting in the driver's seat, the top right corner doesn't get hit, but that's pretty much the same on most cars. So I'd say it works well. If you put it on high, and we had some rain, we had some heavy rain. I had to use it on high speed. It is amazing how fast it goes because it has a long way to travel. If you think about it, it's got a long ways to go and it works really well. Absolutely no complaints.
That's great. That's great. What about the, okay, we'll start with the side view mirrors. How's the visibility with your side mirrors?
It's okay. It's decent, you know, pretty much the same as say it would be on your Y, about the same. It's a little weird on any truck because when you're sitting up high on a truck and you have the mirrors pointing, so they look sort of back, straight back. If you want to look down closer to the ground, you kind of have to like move your head a little bit to be able to see downwards. Yeah. Just like on your Model Y, when you put your blinker on left or right, then your camera, left or right camera comes up on the screen and you can see if there's somebody there, say in your blind spot. And this truck also has something I've never had on any other Tesla, which, near the left and right speaker by the A pillar, there's a little red LED. And any time, not just when you have the blinker on or anything, at any time, if someone is in your blind spot, that light comes on. It's not obtrusive. It's not super bright. It's very subtle. It's like just right, you know, the brightness of it. So that comes on.
Yeah, I hope that feature honestly comes to other vehicles, makes its way down the line in terms of products. In the Phoenix area, I don't know how much time or if ever you've spent here, but traffic is not as bad as it is in the LA area, for instance. But I will say that traffic is, it's maybe half as bad as what it is in the LA area, which means that people can still be moving at quite a speed, but we're all, there's just a lot of it. Like I so oftentimes, Gene, I find myself like making a merge into a left or right lane on our main freeway on the I-10, and there's already somebody there. Like the mirrors on the Model Y do nothing for me in those situations. But I will say, I've finally learned to look on my screen to make sure that area is clear. Because I'm definitely the reason for four or five people thinking that Tesla drivers are idiots, because I trusted where my mirror was, and it's set for, I would say, 90% of the situations that you're going to come in to. But when people are coming up really fast beside you, I just, for whatever reason, that there's a blind spot in there for me. But checking that mirror, finally checking the screen to see if it's clear, that makes a big difference. Also, it's really nice that they put a red light on your screen, or a little indication that somebody is in your blind spot. So it's definitely, I'm happy that's something that Tesla is taking care of. But those little bitty mirrors do not translate into a wide viewing angle for you. You got to use that camera.
If you have extended autopilot, I really recommend that. I don't necessarily recommend everybody go get FSD, but that extended or enhanced autopilot is called EAP. It's like a $6,000 option. When you put your blinker on left or right, the car is going to make the lane change for you. I really like having that on my vehicle. In fact, I tried living on my Model Y when I got it. I didn't want to spend that money at first. I tried to live without it. Picked up my Model Y like 30 miles from here. And on the way home, I just missed having, what you get with enhanced autopilot, where you push the blinker stalk, the car's going to move over, but it checks first. I mean, I check and then the car checks. It just gives you a lot of confidence, and it will see a car coming up fast from a pretty far distance and determine that it's going to wait till that car goes by. You know, that's like the best part of enhanced autopilot is the lane changing abilities and safety of it. It's really, really great. That's something that then you're not looking quite as carefully in the mirrors, because you also have Tesla backing you up on that.
Yeah, that's a good tip too. You're full of good tips, Gene. You're I have considered paying for a month or two, paying the $199 for when full self-driving 12 comes out.
Yeah.
That way I can fully test it. But I'm worried that if I like it, it'll you be will. Hard to go back to.
It is. You will. Yeah.
Okay. So we talked about a little bit about the autonomous features, and I will say Tesla is really good, and they don't get enough credit about this because Elon messes with the timelines, but Tesla is really good with doing what they said they're going to do. They're not very good at pricing where they said they're going to price. They're not very good with timelines, but if they say they're going to build a Cybertruck, I have complete faith that they're going to build it. When it is, who knows? If they say all of those features and more are coming to hardware for cars, I 100% believe they're going to do it because their history has shown they will. It just might be a really long time before it gets there.
Right. I think we should also just mention, I'll bring up, I know you're asking me the questions, but since we're sort of on the subject of mirrors and stuff, is the rear view mirror.
Oh, yes. And
yeah. So, you know, when I was seeing the stuff on YouTube and stuff, I was kind of like, well, that's kind of weird not being able to look in the rear view mirror. Well, the way they have it is that instead of having a rear view mirror, you got a rear view camera. And it comes up on your center screen, and you have choices. You can have move it to the basically the video feed that you're looking at. You can move it to the middle of the screen, or you can move it over to the left, kind of where it shows miles per hour and stuff. I love that. And I think the safest thing they could do would be to integrate that into all their cars. It is so much better than a rear view mirror because there's no blind spots. You get a really nice 180 view of everything behind you. After 30 minutes of driving the truck, I stopped looking for what used to be, you know, a rear view mirror up above. I got used to it. It's just far superior. Your eyes are at the same level. So the same level your eyes would be looking out the front windshield. You just, out of your peripheral vision, even you can see what's going on behind you. And I really think they can do that. They have rear cameras on all the Teslas. They could update that to every Tesla, and I think they should.
Yeah, I love that we have a big map on that screen, but I don't think that's the best use of that much real estate on our screen. Because maybe have a thing where I can toggle it on, but there's way more stuff that I would rather have. For instance, I would rather have my two mirrors on either side of the car. I'd rather have a view of that constantly rather than just when I hit the blinker, then it pops up. I want that to be on all the time. I know you can select that in your camera settings, and you could choose left or right or rear, but it's not the same. It's not like what you're talking about.
When you're driving a full-size truck and you have a big hood, you really can't see pavement in front of you. I'm not talking about the Tesla now. I'm talking about a big hood with an engine under there, an internal combustion engine. You can't see the pavement for something like 30 feet in front of you. You could have a kid on a tricycle in front of you. I mean, all sorts of things. The way the Cybertruck, the hood slopes down, I'm guessing, I never measured it, but I'm guessing you can probably see the ground as close as 10 feet, maybe even 8 feet in front of you. So I think that's a big safety thing. We know a lot more pedestrians are getting killed in the United States in more recent years, and that may be because of the trucks, you know, the big trucks and stuff. So that's beautiful safety-wise. And there's also a front camera, which comes up automatically. It seems like it's at slower speeds, like in parking lots, pulling into the garage and stuff like that. The front camera comes up, or you can bring it up manually anytime. And that's really, really helpful because you just see straight down to the ground and everything in front of you.
Let's see. We got I'm going to go with accessories because to this point, you have a third-party accessory ordered, and you haven't done any sort of customization to it. Is that correct?
Correct. I've not done nothing to it.
Okay. And you mentioned that you ordered a spare tire from T-Sport?
Yeah, T-Sport line has a pretty reasonable price on a steel wheel and a spare tire, you know, in the 20-inch size. And I did get all my usual stuff I always have for backcountry travel, a good air compressor, all tire plugging tools. Can't even remember everything, you know, spare lighting, things like that. And it's really, there's no 12-volt outlets on this truck because it's a 48-volt. The DC architecture is 48-volt, so I was able to find a smallish air compressor that plugs into the 120. And the truck does have two 20-amp 120 outlets in the back and a NEMA 1450, which is a 40-amp 240-volt output. And it also has those in the cab. Well, it has the 120s volts in the cab as well. The only place where you have a NEMA 1450 240-volt is in the bed of the truck.
Okay. Actually, that was, I can't remember what I was talking to, but somebody was asking about that as well. So that's good information to know. All right, now let's get down to the performance. This is a heavy truck. There's been lots of chatter, I guess, online about how efficient it is. And some people are saying, well, it's not as efficient as Tesla's saying. You have a little bit of a different story.
Absolutely. I only actually have 300 or 400 miles on the truck. And as of last night, I was at 336 watts per mile. That is essentially 3 miles for 1 kilowatt hour of battery. And if you multiply that times 123 kilowatts the battery holds, that's actually 369 miles of range, which is greater than EPA. But I will say that's about 80% highway/freeway driving, and it is 60 to 65 miles an hour, which is about as fast as you're going to go around here. And even on my long trips, I tend to not go faster than 65 or 70. I'd rather just kick back and not have to watch for highway patrol or anything, just enjoy my trip. But it's actually much, much more efficient than what I was expecting. I was going to be happy with 2 miles a kilowatt, which is pretty much what the Rivian gets, but this is 3 miles a kilowatt hour. That's incredible. And I have friends with Model X's that don't do any better than that. On my Model Y, I go 4 miles per kilowatt hour, and Model 3's can get up to 5 miles per kilowatt hour. You know, it all kind of depends on how you drive. So I might be a little bit of an outlier, but if I can do this easily, that's incredible news for everybody.
Yeah, for sure. And I don't want to disparage anybody, but people who are buying the Cybertruck for YouTube views are probably going to drive it a little bit differently than people who are buying it just for everyday life. If I had to guess.
Yeah, I sort of noticed on YouTube, I think any kind of negativity really gets a lot of clicks. And so I've seen a lot of things where people come up with these incredible negative titles. And then actually, if you watch the whole content, it wasn't really that negative, you know?
Sure.
The fingerprint thing is an example. Really, if you don't like the fingerprints, even after they're on there for several days, it just takes Windex and a rag and they come off instantly. They just wipe right off. That's not even a big deal. But there are people that I've run into that told me they canceled their order because they're worried about fingerprints. You know, it's insane.
Yeah. I'm not sure people know this, but fingerprints actually show up on other cars too. Like, yeah. I don't understand that at all.
Yeah.
That was a mystery to me. Let's see. Is there anything? How is it going 0 to 60 in your Cybertruck?
Okay, so if you're a Tesla owner, you know you have a chill mode, and then you have sort of performance mode or whatever. And I always chill out in all my trucks. It's not fun to drive a truck really fast, you know. I've tried it a couple times because friends have said to me, "Show me how fast it can go." So I take it out of chill mode for that moment, and we nail it. And my Model Y is actually a performance Model Y. And I don't know what it is on paper, but I'd say it's just as fast as the Model Y. It's really fast, acceleration-wise. On chill mode, it's probably as fast as any internal combustion V8, you know, pickup truck. So that's fast enough. I just leave it on chill.
Yeah. When somebody new gets in my car, we do the 0 to 60 game, but mine's like 4.9 seconds, and that's still impressive to them. Mm-hmm. I have been in a Model Y Performance and done the 0 to 60 game, and that's quite a bit more impressive. But for somebody who's coming from a gas vehicle or a diesel, that's enough of an experience for them to get a thrill out of it for sure.
Yeah. The other thing about the Cybertruck, since we're talking about driving performance and stuff, is it handles really well. I mean, I have had it on some curvy roads and stuff, and it goes wherever you point it. You feel like you're driving a good handling auto car, not a truck, when you're in it. It doesn't lean, follows the road, follows exactly where you point. I have a lot of sense of confidence. You get a lot of confidence going around the curves. It's never scary. It's pretty amazing. The four-wheel steering works incredibly well. And if you need to pull a U-turn or something, it is amazing how tight this thing turns. And I heard that there's going to be a software upload, also download or upload, whatever you call it, that is going to make that actually a tighter turning circle than it already is turning radius. Yeah.
Nice. That is important. It's only important when you need to make a tight turn. Like it, right. it's never something you're going to think about until you absolutely need it. So yeah, that's cool. Well, Gene, thank you so much for coming on the show and being so generous with your time and sharing your experience with us. Do you have anything you'd like to promote or a place that you would like to send people?
Well, no.
Okay.
just to your podcast.
All right. Well,
I enjoy your podcast. It comes from your heart, you know? And yeah, I guess I'm sure I could think of things if you had to give me advance warning on that one. But
I apologize. If you want to email me, I'll tag it onto the end of the show.
Maybe I'll send you a couple of links of things that I think people should know about.
For sure. Well, thanks so much, Gene. I appreciate it.
Great. Thank you, Bodhi. It's good talking to you.
I would like to thank Gene for agreeing to come on the show and hanging out with me and talking Cybertruck. I learned a lot and I really enjoyed myself, so hopefully you did as well. And we're going to have Gene on again after he gets finished with his road trip. So, yeah, more Gene to come, and I'm looking forward to that as well. All right, everybody, that is it for me today. I hope you all had a wonderful weekend. I hope you all have a lovely week. On Friday's episode, I sat down with Mullen Automotive's David Mishry, the CEO and founder of that company, and we discussed commercial EVs. All right, if you have thoughts or comments about today's episode, please feel free to email me. It's Bodhi, Bodie, at 918digital.com. You can also find me on Twitter at 918digital, or X, I guess that it's called nowadays. I think that's been almost a year since that change has been made. I'll get it eventually. All right, everybody, thank you so much for listening. Have a great day.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.